All right, we're back here on a Tuesday night after a Thanksgiving holiday that for me wasn't so pleasant. I had a lot of illness going through the family, and it hit me pretty hard. So, but hey, it was a long break. I'm getting better. I had a massive cold over the holiday, but I was able to enjoy an Eagles victory. So before we discuss it and break it down, let's do what we do every time the Eagles get a win, and let's let the music play. That is the song, and that is what we play every time the Eagles get a victory. And this one was another kind of a nail-biter. It's hard to describe this one. If you asked anybody to say how you felt about this game, it felt good. It was a lot of ups and downs in this one. But first of all, before we get into the breakdown, how was your Thanksgiving holiday, and how you doing after our break, Tubby?
Oh, man, it was... It was good. You know, it was slightly spoiled when the Cowboys won, but the Giants or Cowboys would have been good to lose. They were both 7-3, so it really didn't matter. But Cowboys just being – to know that any Cowboys fan is happy anywhere, it just really upsets my stomach, because that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for them to be completely miserable all the time. But, nah, man, it was good, man. A lot of good football on. A lot of good football on. Weekend was, holiday was great, man. Thanksgiving was good, man. Food was good. Went over my buddy's house, and waited all week for Sunday night to see these birds get this dub, man. So yeah, man, I'm ultra happy, man. 10-1 with the birds. Life is good, man. Like, you got up there, man, 40-33, a big win over Green Bay Packers, man, and it. You love to see it, man. How about you, man? What's going on?
Well, you know, yeah, we had a lot of family in the house, and it was a good time. Yeah, Thanksgiving itself was fine. Like, so when I started to get the cold, but yeah, you know, Dallas struggled a little bit with the Giants for a while. It was the second time they played them this year. We haven't played them yet. But so it was interesting. It was, you know, I was kind of hoping for a Minnesota loss as well, just to keep us a buffer in the number one seed race, and that didn't happen. So, that wasn't great. My Michigan Wolverines beat the Ohio State Buckeyes. Got to throw that in there. So that was a huge day on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday night, I laid in on my couch watching the Sunday night football game, and just like a zombie, every time the Eagles did something good, I was just like, yay. I was like, and you know I'm sick if I'm not texting you, and I barely texted you through the whole game because you know I'm sick. Yeah, I was not doing well. But you know what, the Eagles fans came out in force. It was hilarious. Got a couple of pictures from the game. This one was one of my favorites. Fan hold up a sign saying, "I'm here to avoid listening to Chris Collinsworth." That was brilliant. It was good stuff. And then you had another fan that had the since we were playing the Packers, and you had the cheeseheads out there. The guy had a triangle Philadelphia cream cheese hat.
Oh, man.
There were a few of those throughout the stadium. So yeah, it was good. The fans showed up for prime time. That's for sure. And I tell you what, I was trying this game, you know, after the Indy game, and I said, I'm going to try not to take things so seriously in regards to football and just enjoy the games and enjoy that my team is doing well this year and not get so wrapped up in it. And so one of the big challenges was Chris Collinsworth, because I really don't like listening to the guy. I just don't. And he makes it hard to enjoy a football game because it's just the snarky comments. And I'm sure that fans on both sides get it. He seems to snark against both sides, and you just get tired of it. You know, he always sees the negative in things, so it's frustrating. So my challenge was to not mute the TV, and I was successful. I've made it through the game. I'm proud to say, probably because I was too sick. But I tell you what, who did make it through the game, and we got to, before we get into the breakdown of the game, we got to lead with this. Jason Kelce, 170 games played by an offensive line, which is the most in franchise history. I think that passes Chuck Bednarik as the top player, the Iron Man, if you will, for the Philadelphia Eagles. So longtime Eagle, will certainly be a Hall of Famer, and it's been just a pleasure for us as fans to be able to see that happen. But the game against the Packers, and I'm going to let you take this over here, there was some milestones in that game as well, not just Kelce's 170 yards, 170 games completed. There was some rushing milestones met in that game, which was really, it wasn't surprising because the Packers are weak on run defense. We knew that going in, but the extent of which the Eagles ran the ball and ran the ball effectively, I think surprised me, and I'm sure surprised you as well. So what was your take on the Eagles' game plan going into this game and how they executed it?
You know, when I saw the weather to start the game, first thing I thought was, okay, you know, it's maybe a little heavy of a run game. But I didn't think it was going to be that heavy of a run game. But then we didn't even start out even trying to run. So we came out, you know, just firing, you know, almost just like trying to just jump on them quick, especially with getting the ball first. But once we got that ball back, man, we started just running the ball. Everything just seemed to fall into place for us. But I think last year set us up for expecting the run. You know, we expect our team to run the football really well. The number one team in the league last year finished the league, not just, you know, finished the season at with the rushing title as a team. And we also talked so many times this year about just how can the Eagles win the game. And right now, it's no telling how they're going to beat you, especially offensively. It's no real telling. You seen early in the season with big games from Smith and three touchdown game from against the Steelers with A.J. Brown. And then we turn around and run it down everybody else's throat. So it's just like you don't know what you're going to get. Every time you think you have us in the third down, Jalen has been making a lot of plays for us. And he hasn't been turning the ball over. So the whole game plan, I loved it, man. Just get back to the game plan. Loved the running. Love that we mixed in the pass there, but didn't need it too much. And wasn't shy about playing to our strengths on offense.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about it in the preview. Would the Eagles run with Sanders against a weak team? And you never know what the Eagles are going to do. But they knew what they were going into. The Packers had a better pass defense. You know, Jair Alexander and company are known to be able to play good man coverage. And I thought what I saw in the game, especially in the first couple of drives, was when Jalen Hurts got loose against their coverage, they run the similar type of shell defense that we do, meaning it's a lousy defense. Let's just put it out there. It's a lousy defense. But what's worse is where the Eagles kind of run a shell zone, the Packers tend to run a deep coverage in man so they can deflect the pass, but it leaves them really susceptible to quarterback runs. Right. Because how many times did Jalen take off with the ball and there were no defensive backs anywhere near and they all had their back turned? They were sending guys down the field and Jalen would have the entire field as that, I mean, that, to me, that's what really contributed to him running the ball so well, the first two drives. And of course, the second one came after the pick. Which, again, it started off amazing with this defense, just being able to play out there. I texted you about that. Was the pick right after the Eagles scored the first touchdown was Darius Slay had mentioned before the game that he has a Mount Rushmore of quarterback interceptions. He has Brady and others, I'm pretty sure, you know, that he's put up there that his favorite quarterbacks that he's picked off. And he doesn't have an Aaron Rodgers. And Hargrave puts pressure on Rodgers. Rodgers throws it up and it hits Slay in the helmet and right into the hands of Josiah Scott, who's filling in for Avante Maddox. And all I could think of was, oh, Slay's gonna be pissed. That was his Mount Rushmore pick. Because you don't know how many more times he's got an opportunity to intercept Aaron Rodgers. So that was key. But like I say, the Eagles get the ball in short field, and then again, just dominant with the run game, doing what they should against this Packer, weak Packer run defense. And it was impressive. I had a buddy of mine, a longtime Steeler fan, a longtime friend of mine, immediately text me after the Eagles went up 13-0 because Elliott missed the extra point and said, oh, this is just going to be bad. This is going to be ugly. And he goes, I thought we might have at least a little bit of a chance. And I texted him back, and this is where we get into it, is I said, dude, I said, Gannon runs the same type of shell coverage that you guys do. I could see the coverage that you guys are in. I said, don't worry. This game is far from over. It's the first quarter. And if there's anything I know about our defensive coordinator is that he does not learn from his mistakes. And when he does play well, like he did against Indy in the second half, he goes right back to the shell coverage. And I was so frustrated that after the Packers got the ball back after the turnover, that Gannon just let them come down the field so easily in the run game, especially when we went out and got Sue and Joseph to stop the run, but yet you're still lining these guys up where you got five down linemen and one linebacker. It just, you can't stop the run that way. And for them to come down and to get a touchdown right off the bat to make it 13-7 was a huge momentum boost for them. And it could have easily been avoided if Gannon plays just a little bit better defense. I've watched teams like we watched Tennessee the week before shut down the Packers, only giving up 17 points. You can shut this defense down if you just don't treat them with any respect. And Gannon respects opposing offenses too much to the point where he leaves so much space because he's so afraid of giving up big plays to guys like Rodgers that he won't stop anything but that. And that's just going to get us beat every single time.
Yeah, man. I thought one of the other things that was very glaring in the game, and the reason why football is so complimentary to me, is because low-key, anytime the Packers did something, they started with really good field position, and their special team set them up quite often. Often, bruh. They could have ran it back twice on the Eagles in that game. Every time, you look at their scoring drives, you go, boom, they started the Green Bay, they started their own 41-yard line, right, after we turned it over on downs, right? No, I'm sorry, that's after the touchdown. So we get the touchdown, and then, boom, they started on their 41.
Yeah.
Right? Did we go over on downs? They started on our 37.
Yeah.
Right? That's huge. Then we score, come back, another touchdown play. They started on our 13. You get me? So it's just like that's from the AJ strip and other way. Every time they started an optimum two of their touchdowns, they were already in our territory at the 30 or under. So I thought their special teams, man, really bailed them out and made the game a little easier. I feel like they cut the field almost in half for Rodgers a few times. And, of course, our mistakes as well, too. I wasn't too happy, if I'm honest, with the fourth down go for it.
Oh,
up 14. I'm sorry, not up 14, but it's 14-7. Bro, kick the ball. Like, I mean, anything can happen. A fumble snap. We've fumbled a lot of fourth down snaps this year. It's been a couple fourth down snafus this year. You know, swallow your pride a little bit, man, and kick the damn ball. You know, give your defense a chance. You don't need to put the whole game on the line so early. Your team has fought so hard to get up 14, jump on them. I mean, almost an ideal start, right? Touchdown, touchdown. I mean, you can't ask for a better, besides the extra point miss.
Right.
But you got your team that's firing. The stadium is rocking. Everybody is, you can hear the energy. You can feel the energy in the stadium. I felt like that fourth down play took the energy out of the stadium. And it allowed not only the Packers to, you know, come back and go up, but just to feel like they're back in the game off of just that very arrogant. You know, sometimes you could do something and the team feels disrespected. Like, what? You're going to go for it on your 30? Like, we don't even have the possibility of stopping you. I thought the Packers took that a little personally. You can kind of see them really light up after that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers just came alive
after that.
And I thought that was a big point in the game. And their special teams and just short fields.
Yeah, you're right. And they had, on that drive, they had a 4th and 5. And it led to the touchdown to Randall Cobb, and the Eagles had him dead to rights, and they weren't going to settle for a field goal. They went after it, and they got it with the And it's just, it was an aggressive defense. They were respecting Rodgers too much. But like you said, the quarterback sneak, I think it's now Sirianni's gotten his head. If we're fourth and short, no matter where we are on the field, he's going to run that quarterback sneak. And it's worked so many times. But now we're starting to see teams know. Now it's a given. We know you're going to run this quarterback sneak. So what teams are trying to figure out ways to stop it, because it's this football scrum where we get two guys behind Hurts and we shove him in. And you saw in the third down play where the defender came in and grabbed Hurts' arm and yanked him back away from the first. Beautiful strategy. It worked to a T, setting up the fourth, and then anything can happen. Like you said, another fumble snafu. Sanders comes down on the ball short of the marker, and yeah, you're right, the air left the stadium. And so now later on in the game, they did go for some fourth down plays, and they didn't shy away from it. They went right back to the sneak, and it worked. This time they did a little bit of variations on it, which I thought, okay, they got stopped, but they're not abandoning it, because then you had Hurts rolling to the left and then taking where the gaps were instead of just trying to go right up the middle. And I thought that was brilliant. But the thing about momentum is it's a crazy thing. And the Packers had all of the momentum until the Eagles got the ball back and they were coming after Hurts. They force a third down. And I was like, at that point in the game, you know, we're early yet. It's near the end of the first quarter. It's already 14-13 Packers. And Hurts hit A.J. Brown on a pass just over the middle to the right of center, and he made a move on the defender and took it for the first down, and then went another 7 yards. I think it was like a 17-yard play. I can't remember exactly how long the play was. But it was such a key play because then the momentum started to shift back. And then right after that, we have the big run to Sanders, another run to Sanders, and then Hurts just – middle of the field, wide open, takes off running, and gets all the way down to near the 5 yard line. It was then everything came back. Everything came back. I don't think offensively, after that drive, the Eagles were ever deflated. I think they came out. They may not have scored every possession, but every possession after that, they knew they were in command of that game unless the Packers did something to stop the run, which they never did. So, you kind of felt good when they get in there and it's, you know, it's 20-14. And I just felt good about it. The problem is, again, going back to Gannon in his coverage, is we're down Avante Maddox. And then on that touchdown play, the second touchdown of the Packers, we lose C.J. Gardner-Johnson, that we found out later is a lacerated kidney after he hits Watson over the middle. So we're down two of our top defenders. We got Josiah Scott out there and Reed Blankenship. Scott, who already has the pick. But yet we're running this shell coverage, and you're putting them in bad spots to try to make plays. And all I'm seeing is when we used to have Rasul Douglas and guys under there under Schwartz and the Green Goblin, Jalen Mills, and they used to always be out of position, partly because of talent, but partly because of Schwartz's scheme. And now we're seeing both Rasul Douglas and Jalen Mills do well. They're starters at their position. How does that work? Are they all of a sudden good, or are they just in better schemes that fit them better? Now, granted, Rasul's in Green Bay's scheme, so it is what it is. But it worries me. The number one thing I took away from the game is that our offense, like you said earlier, can score in any fashion. And Kelsey said it after the game. It just depends on the game, and the game plan is how they're going to attack teams. I don't worry about this offense at all. And if they get shut down by like a Dallas or San Francisco, then those teams will have earned it. They will have earned their defeat of the Eagles because they've set up to stop the Eagles offense. Good luck to you, because we have too many weapons. Even with Goddard out, we're stacked. But it's this defense that has so many talented players that can make plays and make a difference, like Josiah Scott's interception, like Reed Blankenship's interception.
Oh, man, that one was.
Yeah.
Come in. I jumped out of my chair, man, because it was clutch.
Yeah.
They were about to score again. It was clutch, man. Oh, probably the most clutch interception of the game.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a.
I really do believe so, because he catches that at the Philly 22 when he picks that. So, yeah, man. Well, he gets that to 18, runs to the 20, yeah. falls to the 22, but they're right there at the 28. You know, it's they're only down one score.
Yeah.
Here we go. You know, they score. They go back up 21-20, and boom. Because that was a first and 10, too. It was a first and 10. I'm looking at it right now. First and 10 on the
Eagles. It would have made a huge difference. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, man. He completes that. It's trouble. He read that play very well. Made a fantastic break on the ball, but more importantly, he caught the ball. He caught the interception. Unlike Slay, got hit in the face. He must just been too excited.
Oh yeah,
on that one, and then you know, it was a good momentum play for us. But then, what happens right after that? We have the AJ Brown.
Yeah,
we have the AJ Brown fumble. Now, I know this is the AJ Brown.
Yeah, fumble. It was right after. It was turnover for turnover, similar to Indianapolis. We get a turnover and AJ fumbles it. And Grant, I can't fault AJ too much because it's come out since the game because he had a massive illness. That he was playing with, that right. he had to deal with, and so I don't want to give him too much flack. Yeah, it was. Yes,
blood clot in his eye. Blood clots in his eye from being sick all week. Apparently,
yeah, busted blood vessel in his eye from throwing up. He lost roughly 7 pounds from being sick. He wasn't actually feeling well until the second quarter. So, I mean, it's like, wow, I can't – the dude is money. He's been money for this year. But, yeah, two fumbles in two games. It's just something we have to deal with. And it did – it could have hurt us bad. But, it did in this case because Packers ended up scoring. Yeah. But Reed
– we were at their 22-yard line.
Yeah.
So, like, we're right there. The crazy thing does it is – first, I didn't like the play call. First of all, I do not like that play call. I didn't like it to begin with, like the little screen to AJ, and I just don't like it. I just think we don't have either the scheme or the receivers to block, because every time a receiver has to, they don't make the block.
No.
Like they don't get the block. I mean, the ball gets out there, and they don't get the block. I'm sorry. It's not like the ball is sailing over here is being skipped to them all the time. Then I'll be like, it's poor execution. But it's just like, look, if we're not going to block, let's just try something else. We do too many screens when we have a lot of talent. We can throw the ball downfield.
Right.
And I just think we depend on – we go to them, I think, at the wrong times. How about that?
Yeah.
Every time I see the screen, I'm just like, this is a really bad time to run that play here. And that 3rd and 8, even though it had nothing to do with the fumble, I just thought it was a bad play in general. You had that blitz from that left side, which – I mean – it's good to go at the screen like that. It's good to have that little quick out right there. But you see, Hurts was so thrown off. He got it out super quick, which was good. But it kind of turns AJ, and then he turns. It just looked weird. It looked like the play wasn't going to work, period. Even though he got a little short gain. And then when that ball popped out, I couldn't, because we're like, oh, my God, we're almost about to score. We're almost about to score. We can really put this game away. We can go back up to where it just was. Imagine being up 13, then it's now tied. Now we're back up 13. You'd love to see it. So that fumble, it wasn't that it was a fumble. Then it led to them scoring a touchdown. You know, it just gave them that momentum back again. And that's what this game was, a pendulum swing of just momentums. And you just hoped that the Eagles could weather the storm, because it just seems like, when the Packers needed a play, they got it. I mean, they didn't blow us out the water, but it just seems like when they needed a play, they got it. One of the key things I thought would change the game for us a little bit was our ability to get to Rodgers a little more. When you're that old, bro, I'm not saying he's old in life, but old in quarterback years, you don't want to take those hits from them big dogs like that. Nope. Man, you just, everything hurts just that much worse. That's why they get the ball out so quick. It's not that their guys are this. They don't want to get hit. Brady, the Rodgers, these guys don't want to get touched at all. They'll take a 5-yard play, let you get hit, then me take a sack or even a knockdown. They don't even want to be pushed down. You see how they get on the refs every time they're touched. They're like yelling at the refs. But AJ, Hurts is just a day in the office for Hurts taking a few hits here.
You know, it's interesting. We've talked about him, his running, and how we don't really want him to take those hits. But it looked like in this game, he was very controlled with where he was at, because he just went down when he needed to. He didn't go down feet first, but he was going down like in this slow motion kind of, I'm not going to let you hit me, kind of turtled up. I thought it was really interesting how he did that. But back to your thing about the bubble screens or the little screens, the wide receiver screens, I noticed that too. Without Goddard in the lineup, that play doesn't work. And we're trying to run it with other key players. When Goddard's in there, it seems to matter. Even if you don't block, he's going to run you over.
Right.
But when you've got Devontae Smith, there was another one they tried to run in the second half to Devontae Smith, and Quez completely missed the block, and Devontae got blown up for a 6-yard loss. And I was like, why are we doing that? I get that you want to have these quick strike plays, but if the defense is reading it and your wide receivers aren't blocking it, then it's just going to lead to a negative play. And that's what we don't want on this offense. All that being said, in spite of the fumble, in spite of the turnover on downs, this team is moving the ball at will. And think about that. In the first half, we had the turnover on downs and the A.J. Brown fumble, and they still scored 27 points, which is insane. A final play to end the half, which was even more crucial because the Packers were going to get the ball to start the second half. They come down, and with 19 seconds left on the board, Jalen hits Quez Watkins for that 30-yard touchdown, which was a thing of beauty. It was a good play. To me, it was
a really good throw. It looked like the T. Higgins play against the Bengals. It was like, if you really look at it, it's similar. You got this running, and he just stops. Yep. Boop. You know, and Collinsworth, for as wrong as he is a lot of times, he did call that out. You have to have a play in your arsenal that's just right to the front goal pylon. He called it immediately, you know, like, he recognized it, and that's the first thing I thought. I was like, damn, it like that T. Higgins touchdown earlier where you just see Higgins appear and the defender is still going, and he's just like, touchdown. So, clutch, man. Clutch. Yeah. Another clutch drive.
It was.
From the Birds, man.
And it seemed like that was the thing, was that their defense might have hung them out to dry. I will say this. Defense played a good third quarter because it came out and they stopped the Packers from moving the ball. Eagles get it back and go. They have the group. Really another great drive with the run and pass, Jalen running, and they end up getting the A.J. Brown touchdown to make it 34-20. So now you're feeling really comfortable, but I'm never feeling really comfortable as long as Gannon is concerned. And the defense did hold him to just a field goal in the third quarter. So that was the one quarter, I think, that belonged to the defense. And after that was it for Aaron Rodgers. He was done. He had taken enough hits. He had picked himself up enough. And apparently his ribs hurt, and he just went to the locker room and entered Jordan Love. And this is where I thought, all right, this is where the Eagles can put the game away. This is where they should put the game away. This is somebody who doesn't start NFL games very often.
Right.
And does Gannon come after him? Nope.
Not at all.
Doesn't come after him. And so now what we've got is Collinsworth and company talking about how great Jordan Love looks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe the hype, people. Don't go out there getting him on your fantasy team. I'm telling you what, Jordan Love, if he starts this week, will fall flat on his face because teams will come after him. What Gannon refused to do, other teams will do. There is no excuse in my mind for giving up 10 points in the fourth quarter to Jordan Love. None whatsoever. And allow, I get it that the Eagles are up at one point 37-23. The game should have been done at that point.
Yeah.
There was no excuse. I know you're up. It doesn't excuse you going into a shell prevent defense against a, let's say, rookie quarterback. He's drafted in 2020 against a relatively unproven quarterback that has not played a lot. So it frustrates the hell out of me when I watch Gannon do these things where it's like it could have lost the game except for we hit the friggin' Elliott, the clutch kick, man, that really it saved the game at the end.
I mean,
if Elliott doesn't make that kick, they're only down 7 getting the ball back and in good field position. So, I mean, you got to love it. The 50-yard field goal with 2 minutes left in the game, it shouldn't have come down to that. It shouldn't have required a 54-yard field goal to win the game. And let's just talk real quick about Jake Elliott here real quick. 17 career 50-yard field goals. The most in Eagles history. Over David Akers, over everyone. Jake Elliott has been
a lot of that this year.
Yeah. He's been a godsend to the franchise.
In franchise history.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, as far as Eagles are concerned, we're setting
up. As far as Eagles are concerned, it's been a lot of first in franchise history. First in franchise. It's like every game you watch, somebody is doing something first in franchise history or something. Unbelievable season the Birds are having, man.
And I'm glad they won it. You know, they went, you know, end up winning at 40-33 because the Packers come down and end up, you know, having to settle for a field goal of their own and then try to get the onside kick and don't get it. But it never should have got within a touchdown. And when you're up 37-23 in the third quarter, it just never should have gotten that far. It never should have. And I think that Gannon too often takes his foot off the gas, and I think it's going to cost us in against a real crucial opponent when we really need a win. And this this coverage is just gonna be the Eagles' undoing if it continues like this. Because I don't think I honestly don't believe he sees it. Everybody, if you go on message boards or on Facebook or anything, on comment sections of anywhere, everybody says our coverage scheme, not our players. No one ever says the players are trash. No one ever says anything about Bradberry, even though he's just took a little bit of a disappearing act. Nobody ever says anything about Slay. It's always the scheme. Our scheme is garbage. Right. We've said it enough on this podcast, but it bears repeating because we're 10-1, and unfortunately it's a precarious 10-1 because of our defensive coordinator's refusal to adapt his scheme to really be. When you look at a team like the 49ers and what they did this weekend, shutting down the Saints 13-0, they don't score a lot of points. 49ers yet. They've got enough weapons to. They certainly should score more points than they did against the Saints. Right. But it didn't matter because their defense and D'Amico Ryans, who is a hell of a defensive coordinator and a former Eagle, I might add, D'Amico is controlled aggressiveness. He came after the Saints in so many ways possible if you watch that game. And they run a really good coverage scheme. They mix it up. But it's always in your face, and it's always challenging. And I do believe they have the best defense in the NFL right now that I've seen play, better than the Cowboys. The problem is do they have enough offense with Garoppolo leading it to be able to take them over the top? You watch if Trey Lance comes in and plays anywhere like the caliber of Jalen Hurts does with the mobility and future seasons, if this team doesn't become even better. I think people love Garoppolo for some reason. I think he's okay. I think that's the one thing that
he's a manager.
Yeah,
he's a manager. He's a not as good of a passer as Kirk Cousins, but he's just kind of that guy that's just kind of, as long as he doesn't hurt your team, you know. But he just kind of stays in the game. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He doesn't do a lot of stupid things. But I want to go back. Just hold up for with that, the Jordan Love thing. Cause I mean, I just want to tell you how I was feeling when he came on too. You know, you see first when we saw first thing about Gannon that he needs to get is some dog in him. And that dog comes from when you see Aaron Rodgers out there wincing every single time he throws the ball. Why aren't you just knocking him down for GP? Just GP. I bet you what? Let Jalen looks to be ailing of any sorts out there, and he was just going to hit him until he leaves the game. And Rodgers was one hit or not away from leaving the game because he didn't come back after. He still let him on a 10-play drive to get that little field goal, still clutch. And here we are, not hitting him in the mouth. You know, Jordan Love, it goes back to last week. You know, because I was surprised when to even know that they were drafted in the same draft as Jalen Hurts, Jalen being 53. And when you see that number now, you go, damn, Jalen was drafted 53rd. Like, shit. Like, you know, for him to be leading a team, and you see so many teams with young quarterbacks that are struggling to lead, I mean, just look what happened to Zach Wilson out there in the Jets. I mean, you go from flying high 2 weeks ago to winning to in civilian clothes. You're not even in a healthy scratch. That's how fast life can come at you in the NFL, particularly when you say, I don't think I left my defense down. So you do have to be mindful about what you say. But with Jordan Love, I was like, man, here we go. Here's that 3-year quarterback that rested and waited. How is he going to play? They said, on the broadcast, because Rodgers is getting his preferential treatment, that he doesn't work on Wednesdays. And he said Jordan Love has been running the Wednesday practices and running with the ones. So they're used to him. They're used to his cadence. Even if it's on just Wednesday, you've been in the film room, just film room alone with Aaron Rodgers for 3 years. You're going to be able to piece together, and you're ultra fresh when it's week 13, week 12. Guys are hurting. You're fresh too. So you're going to have that spark. He had a lot of pop on his arm. I was surprised. I don't really know much about him, honestly. So I didn't know what to expect. But I go, here goes this. I've been sitting on the bench 3-year quarterback, and he came out and just made really the one throw, but it was our scheme more so than anything else. Blankenship took a bad angle. Scott just didn't know what happened to him. It was like Watson's just shook him at the corner. He went one way, he just got his momentum going the other way just for a second, and Watson went the other way. Blankenship comes down, take a bad angle. It's just a comedy of errors there, but if that's Maddox and CJ there, that play doesn't happen. So, good read, bad defense on our part. We should have at least hit Jordan Love a couple times. So, man, when they got that touchdown, I said, here we go. Is this some stupid story on Sunday Night Football? Love comes off the bench and wins the game. Like, not in Philly, please, no. And then when Jake got that field goal, I was like, all right, this is manageable. We should be able to manage it from here. We always have to remember, Lee, we have a young coaching staff, man. Mm-hmm. We have a young coaching staff. These guys haven't been in a lot of situations. A lot of situations are still very new to Sirianni. That's why I kind of want him to humble. I know he's having fun, but you got to relax, Sirianni. It's a lot of dog days ahead, brother. I know you're 10-1 now, but any coach will tell you it's a lot of dog days ahead. So, humble yourself a little bit, man. I like him, but humbly, I think he's hype, man. I love it. You love the energy, but man, all right now, because you're not out there taking those hits, buddy boy. So yeah. Anyway, my little rant about the Jordan Love situation. Yeah, I thought we should have hit Rodgers in his mouth.
I think that we should do it every single week, and we'll preview the Titans game coming up. This is a massive challenge. And we showed that we could not stop the run again. I think it was about 8 yards a carry that Dylan averaged. It's just unbelievable. You can't do it. And so luckily the offense bailed him out in this time. This was probably one of the worst defense performances that we've seen from the Eagles. So they've got a lot of film. I was watching it back again today, and I'm like, they got a lot of film to look at to figure out where they've went wrong. And Gannon should be pointing a lot of the fingers at him. But they came away with a win, and they came away with some major milestones, which is these numbers are unbelievable. The Eagles had 500 yards of total offense against the Packers, 363 rushing yards, second most in team history. Sanders had a career high 143 yards, and Jalen Hurts had an Eagles record 157 rushing yards by a quarterback. 363 yards, rushing yards in a game is the most that the Eagles have had since 1948. Miles Sanders, 21 carries, 143 yards, 2 touchdowns, 6.8 yards per carry. Unbelievable stuff. And Jalen Hurts, the most single game rushing yards ever by an Eagles quarterback, beating out all comers. And this is the land of McNabb, Vic, and Cunningham. And this guy put up more rushing yards. Now, and if you watch the game, this was a truly dominant performance by Jalen in spite of the turnovers in the first half. He was always in control of this offense.
It looked like it.
It's not just a running quarterback. This guy is a leader, and he can throw. If you like, I don't want to agree with Collinsworth, but he did mention it. It's like if unlike a lot of quarterbacks that are out there, if you try to just set up a spy and stop the run against Jalen Hurts, that's when he comes at you with the pass. When we have seen teams that go to this man coverage and they do single coverage and challenge Hurts to pass against them, he burns them. So then they come back down and try to play a little bit of zone, and that's when they'll go to the run game and they'll ground you out. And so it's amazing to see it. So one of the things that it shows, this most rushing yards by a quarterback in NFL game history, Jalen Hurts is already fifth on that list. And I don't know if he's done. I you know, as far as this game, yes, but as far as in his future, you look at Colin Kaepernick had the most in a game and 181 yards, and then you got Justin Fields at 178, Vic at 173, and Vic again for the Falcons at 166. I fully believe that Jalen can be on this list multiple times in this type of situation. It depends on the scheme, because the Eagles aren't going to the Eagles, unlike a lot of teams, they're not going to run him like this all the time. This was the opponent that they did this for. So don't think that you're going to see this each and every week. This is a strictly by opponent type situation that they're doing. You know, he had 103 rushing yards in the first quarter alone. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so, man. Jalen definitely puts in a shift.
Yeah. The first NFL player in a game with 150 plus rushing yards. This is in NFL history. Jalen Hurts is the first player in a game in NFL history with 150 plus rushing yards, 150 plus passing yards, and two passing touchdowns. It's never happened before. So it's not one dimensional. This guy can hit you from all other. What I loved about it was in the press conference, he had mentioned that, well, this is the quote that he gave in the press conference. I have a great deal of respect for the guys that came before me, Randall, Donovan, Mike. They don't even know how they've impacted me. I appreciate them. They've guided me in more ways than I know. And this is on him breaking Vic's Eagles mark of rushing records by a quarterback in a game. It's kind of awesome to see this next level, because this is the land of Vic. This is the land, you know, after Atlanta and McNabb and Cunningham.
Oh, yeah.
These are legendary quarterbacks, and this guy has come in just his second full year as a starter. He has surpassed our expectations as far as what he could be. We said in the preseason that we thought that this is what he could accomplish. So we have no problem with anything that's going on the offensive side of the ball. The only thing I maybe do have a problem with is the Pro Bowl vote getters. Is right now Geno Smith is leading the NFC in votes, and I don't get that. I get that he's having a great season, and you want to talk comeback player of the year? I'll give you Geno Smith all day, but there is no way Geno Smith is outplaying Jalen Hurts at this point in the season right now. As far as Pro Bowl, it doesn't make any sense. But who cares about the Pro Bowl anyway?
The only sense that it makes is that maybe the universe is saying, well, Jalen won't be in the Pro Bowl anyway because he'll be too better. He'll be too busy doing better things. Back to the Chris Collinsworth thing, comments, like, you get to see what he was basically saying. Like, you almost can't have a one-dimensional quarterback anymore. Because if you don't, then you're hurting. So most quarterbacks, you have to be able to move your feet a little bit. I'm not saying be able to run like Jalen, but you have to be able to do something else. And, just that whole, basically that Peyton Manning standard is going away. Like the Peyton Manning and, because Rodgers would run too. If people watch football long enough, Rodgers used to get out there and run. Great scrambler and was always ultra athletic. Pick up a first down and run for 15, that was nothing. You've always had those quarterbacks mix in. Steve Young was one of the really, really good quarterbacks to do that because he could still throw the ball, but in all, you go back to his BYU days, now I'm just going to run it myself because he always felt like he was the best athlete on the field. Lefty, awkward. So, yeah, man, Jalen is, he's definitely moving the needle. And, just hope they can all just stay healthy, man. I don't like the hits, but it was necessary. And that's just what comes with the territory. But as you can see, you can have a non-running quarterback and he still goes out in Rodgers. So you just have to What Jalen Hurts is making people appreciate is just him going out there and just playing football. He may not play a particular way. He just plays. He just tries to get the ball down the field however he can and do it the best he can. And I think that's all you can ask for him. So his numbers, we said in the beginning of the season, that his numbers are always going to be offset with passing and rushing yards. It just is. If you have a different benchmark for Jalen, you haven't watched his game. College, same way. NFL, you know, same way. So, yeah, man, we've won a lot of different ways. This was a game where we picked up the defense. Defense picked us up last game against Indy. We picked the defense up this game. And while it's on my mind, Michael Kay, I think we're about done with our special teams guy, man. Mm-hmm. I can't get over, you know, I've been banging on special teams, bro. I've been banging on about special teams about 2 years now because football is complimentary. It is so many ways to win a game other than your quarterback. And I think it's just been so underrated what the Eagles offense has had to overcome with field position. If you just look at that starting 16, 20, yeah, you know, we're still getting 86 yard drives. That first drive in that quarter, 86 yards mm-hmm. on that drive. This is what Jalen having to do, just 80, 70, 70. Overcome, have to go to whole field almost every time he touches the ball. And that is due to our special teams. No punt return, no kick returns. It's just like these guys just out there taking up a roster spot, man. And I think we need to, whatever is work, it's just not working. Now it's not working defensively and it's not working offensively. That's all I have to say about that.
You know, you're right. I mean, we've played two teams back-to-back now, the Indy and Green Bay, that had returners that returned the ball into Eagles territory. And we're sitting there with Britton Covey, who does absolutely nothing. Boston Scott, who does kickoffs now, but it doesn't doing anything. And then you see a guy in the Minnesota game running kickoffs back. Nixon for the Green Bay, he's running kicks out of the end zone where most teams won't do it. Yeah, and running them back to the 40, you know, and maybe beyond, and giving his team, setting his team up every chance he gets for great field position. The days of those kick returns are coming back. We saw it at Thanksgiving, the Minnesota game. He had a kickoff return for a touchdown, but yet the Eagles seem to be able to stand pat, and you're right.
Last night, Steelers.
Yeah, again, yes, again, exactly. So
oh, I'm sorry, was that Indy? I'm sorry, Indy. Indy. Was that Indy? Yeah, Indy guy ran it back.
That's what I'm saying. I thought you just meant the Steelers game, but that's the same guy that... That got kid in Indy is amazing what he's been able to do for them. So it's like, why aren't we trying to improve in that area? Because honestly, the teams that win championships, and we've seen it time and time again when as football fans, they have everything. Like you said, football is complementary. Offense, defense, and special teams. If we're giving up them great field position, it's going to bite us again eventually.
Exactly.
And so there's so many things that the Eagles need to look at right now and not just sit on that 10-1 record. I hope that they're looking at it. I know they should be, but they've got a ways to go before they lock this thing down. It's still a long way to go the rest of the season. But I do want to say something about Jalen Hurts. It was so funny that I noticed in the game. This was the first game all season. Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders it ran the legs off of the Green Bay Packers to the point where they were doing the fake and the injury bit over and over again. And to me, at first it was annoying. And of course the fans were really getting annoyed. Jerry Alexander gave him a double bird and they were faking. Let's be honest. They were faking them. They were gassed. They were gassed because they were getting run off the field and the Eagles just making them pay for that coverage. And they never adapted to it. So I thought it was impressive to witness as far as something like that with Jalen Hurts and Sanders just killing the Packers run defense and causing them to lay down and die. So one of the other things that I wanted to bring up that I did want to mention about the defense, that props to the defense. This is a props to a defensive coach that is not Jonathan Gannon. And this is when I go back to Gannon's scheme is horrible, but his players are making plays for him. And in this one right here, Denard Wilson, this is a tweet that came out. Denard Wilson, who is our cornerbacks coach, doesn't get way enough recognition for what he's been doing with our passing game and the DBs. Green Bay basically never threw toward any of our CBs. And not to mention what Reed did in the game. a guy who's clearly been putting in a lot of work. But if you look at these numbers against Green Bay, they have one total target on their receivers on each of these. And two receptions against Bradbury, and then on the other side, three receptions against Slay, and that's it. And you look at the numbers, 2 yards against Bradbury, 26 yards against Slay. That's un-freaking believable. But the hole is what our middle, our coverage over the middle, where we're trying to put the linebackers into too many covers. This is where teams are exploiting a weakness against the Eagles by picking on that middle. If you ever see a play that's usually completed against the Eagles for big yardage, it's usually in that middle section where they're running the wheels off of our linebackers who are trying to cover. So that has definitely got to improve. But just a shout out to Denard Wilson. If you remember the name, he's a great defender in his own right, legend, and he's the Eagles DB coach. So thankful that we've got somebody like him on our side. So, you know, we lost C.J. Gardner-Johnson in this game, and so we're down quite a few players going into that's going to be a tough part of the season. After Tennessee, we've got three straight road games, one against the Giants, one against the Cowboys, and then in the middle you've got the Bears sandwiched in there. That's not going to be an easy stretch, and so we need our guys back. So we did get a little bit of an update, and this will make you feel a little bit better, is that Jordan Davis is eligible to come off of IR this week now against the Titans. Will he? We don't know. But it would be very nice to get him back on the field against Henry, because Henry's going to – what do you think the Titans are going to do? What do you think their game plan is going to be against a weak running run defense? They're going to be coming after him. Avante Maddox is eligible to return next week at the Giants, and then Dallas Goedert is eligible after week 14, and we really need him back just to solidify the offense. He's such a key component. We do not have anything from our tight ends without Dallas. Losing CeeDee with this lacerated kidney, it's tough because we don't really know when he's going to be back. They say that it's not season ending, and that's a good thing. So we'll just have to see how Reed Blankenship does. There was rumors today. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the rumors about safety for the Eagles? Malcolm Jenkins is sitting out there.
Is he?
Yeah. And he said,
is that why he made that comment?
Yes.
I would love to be there. I was like, why is he saying that while he's playing for the Saints?
Yeah.
I didn't know he wasn't on the Saints.
No.
What was the quote?
Something along the lines. I don't know the exact quote, but I know he mentioned that he still had something left to give. And I think that the word is that he would like a chance at another ring. And Malcolm, dude, I don't care how much he has left in the tank. Now, the one thing is, I do want to see what Reed Blankenship brings. But I also don't. If Howie were to sign Malcolm to bring him in to cover that spot until CeeDee comes back, I would like to see Malcolm and Reed rotate enough to where Reed could you know, spell Malcolm Jenkins. It could happen. It might not happen. It'd be interesting if it did. We definitely need. I don't think we can go into the stretch of games against division opponents without having our defense as healthy as it can possibly be. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
I think he's a hell of a Reed Blankenship, man. He's a, he led the team in tackles this game. So, I mean, that's something. That's awesome. A rookie. Was it out of Middle Tennessee State? We get him out there?
Middle Tennessee.
Yep. Middle Tennessee State, man. He's out there. That's the first thing I notice about him is that he will come up and tackle.
Yeah.
And that's big, man, because, Epps is a good tackler. So at least he'll be back there with a hitter. But I'm with you, man. If we can just get the wisdom of Malcolm Jenkins in there, by all means. But I want to see what Reed Blankenship has, man. 6'1 safety. He wants to tackle. We're playing King Henry this week, man. So you want some big guys out there that's going to be able to, not scared to get their nose dirty, man. I know TJ Edwards had a solid game as well, too, man. I think TJ is having an all-pro season. He's not like this interceptions and standout, but he's holding it down. He's holding it down for the Eagles.
I just speaking of TJ real quick, there was a swing pass. I can't remember if it was I think it was to Aaron Jones, but I noticed him undercut the route. It was like one of them little bubble screens. It was, and TJ could have easily been blocked by the wide receiver, but instead he took a different angle and he hit Aaron Jones before he could, the ball even got to him. And it was frustrating for Aaron Rodgers because TJ just came out of nowhere. And I marked that play down. I was like, see, that's the kind of stuff we love to see at that position. Because that's where teams are going to try to hit the Eagles, is with those type of plays. And because they were working early for the Packers, I got to admit. But then late in the game, they weren't there as much as they were. So, but like we said, we're going to be taking on the Tennessee Titans. You know, and one of the things I'm glad about with this game, with the Tennessee Titans, is that we're back to playing at 1 o'clock. I'm kind of over these primetime games and waiting all night, waiting all day for Man. Sunday night or Monday night. I'm over it. I'm ready to get to some 1 o'clock games so the Eagles can get into a rhythm. This is our last home game for a while. It's going to be at the Link. This is a very, very important game. And Lee and Tubby will be breaking it down for you this week. So keep an eye out. For all those people that follow us on YouTube and Facebook Live and Twitch, thank you. If you want to subscribe, you'll be able to find out when we're going live to cover the Tennessee Eagles game from the Link. All those that are on our regular podcast providers, whether that's Spotify, Amazon Music, Podcast, Apple Podcast, Castro, thank you so much for being regular listeners. We've seen our numbers grow, and we want to thank you for joining us each and every week. Continue to listen, tell your friends, and we'll be able to, you know, interact with you as we go along. If you want to send us an email, a comment, or a suggestion, tell us we stink. Doesn't matter. You can do that at our email address, which is lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. Hey, a win is a win. 40-33, they did it with an amazing offensive performance. So you can't hang your heads on that. We got a long way to go and a big game coming up. With all that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the night.
Thanks, everybody, for stopping by the Where Goes Podcast, Where Goes There Podcast. Make sure you, like Lee said, man, like, comment, and subscribe. They say the Eagles aren't battle-tested. This is like a battle to me against Aaron Rodgers, and they stood the test, man. As always, thanks for coming, stopping by, chopping it up with us. And as always, man, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll talk to you next time, guys.